The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Texas dominates Michigan. We're going to look back. Alabama heads to Wisconsin this weekend. We're going to look forward. And we've got the NFL Week 1 Best and Worst coming right at you. Check it out more on the Monday edition. Crane & Company. I want to know, am I racist? Am I racist? Why do you judge by the color of our faces? Is racial division just a plan by the Matrix? They burn down our cities, then they get called courageous. Instead of condemning the media, give them praises. Oh, man, what is the benefit? Hey, all our listeners out there, hope you had a great, even though it was a crazy, college football weekend. That could be good or bad. Whether you are listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, doesn't matter. Leave us a five-star review, and please keep sharing the show. Texas didn't face many questions about their ability to put together another elite season coming into this year. But one of the few questions would they be able to maintain that intense physicality, especially on defense after losing Bo Davis to LSU, that they had lacked for so long before last year? Well, after watching them push around Michigan on both sides of the line of scrimmage in the Big House last Saturday, we found out not only had that physical identity carried over, it's permeated to the young guys, and it has become a staple of who Texas now is. Gone are the days of Club Med, and in are the days of Judge Dredd. Now, that isn't to say that Michigan is a great team, but we know they have the size and ability to instigate and win a fistfight up front. It's really their best asset. And Texas out-Michiganed Michigan in that aspect. Now the Longhorns can win games every way imaginable. They can win a track meet if they have to, or they can win a rock fight. And as we say so often on this show, the teams that win the most can win the most ways. Sark is known as an offensive mind, a nuanced dialer of plays that, if needed, can trick and wiggle his way to big gains. But also giving him a hammer as well makes this team more dangerous than ever. So gone are the gentle days of Texas football, and back are the days of being able to beat you up. And that combination with Sark and Ewers running the show could be the catalyst that helps the Longhorns do something they haven't done since Vince Young in the Rose Bowl. Bring him up, former Michigan quarterback David Cone. Got to take his son up to see his first Michigan game. I know that was an awesome experience. Regardless of the score, it's a win. And then my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver Blaine Crane. And David, I'm going to get, obviously, to what you thought about Michigan. But if there was any questions about Texas being able to replicate what you have to do to win national championships, and that's win at the line of scrimmage on both sides, I thought they welcomed the smoke, like kind of like we talked about USC and LSU.
Texas is as good as it gets, boys. I saw it with my own eyes and sent 11 players off to the NFL. Well, hey, no problem. We're going to be reloading. And Quinn Ewers looks as poised as anyone in the country back there playing quarterback. And Steve Sarkisian continues to prove that he's one of the best play callers in the nation. Now, a couple things that I want to hit on here. You had talked about Michigan. Look, the struggles are going to continue throughout the season. That's just the way that it's going to happen. And a lot of people are talking about losing 13 players to the NFL, and you lose your starting quarterback, and you lose your coach. Texas, like I said, just lost 11, and they're continuing to reload at this position. I think that Texas is going to be 5-0 as they head into the Red River Shootout. They have a bye week before they play in that in Oklahoma, and then Georgia is going to come to town the week after. Everything that I saw from Texas this week looks like they can play with Georgia. Obviously, the Texas defense didn't get to prove a whole lot because Michigan is so inept on offense. But with that being said, everything that I saw from Texas, very impressive. And I'll tell you something else. I was even more impressed with the fans at the game. The Texas fans, just high, high class. And then Steve Sarkisian in the postgame afterwards almost acted like this was just part of the plan, just moving right along. They look like a team after the postseason last year who said, this is the route that we're going to take. We came in, historic venue. beat a quality football team, and now we're just focused on moving right along in the season. So if you're a Texas fan, you have to love not just the performance on the field, but the tone of the team after
professional.
The game.
It's a very...
Not just with him on the field after the game, but then the post-game press conference even after that. It just looks like everything is poised right now.
And Blaine, I'm going to get to you 1 second, but do you think, and this is something we talk about all the time, it's because he is using the Saban blueprint, which, you know, I'm sure Saban got from Parcells, and it's a faceless opponent. Yes, we're playing Michigan in the Big House, but it's not about Michigan, just like it wasn't about Colorado State, just like it's not going to be about Oklahoma. It's about us as a football team getting better fundamentally. We'll give you the schemes. We'll tell you who the breakout players are going to be. But at the end of the day, if we go do what we're supposed to do, we should dominate and win the game.
You're exactly right. That was Texas's first trip to the Big House. There's a lot of programs, no matter how historic they are, that would have just sort of soaked that in for a little bit, right? Like, wow, we just can't, no matter what the state of Michigan football is when you play them, wow, that's an awesome moment. Let's soak that in. It was almost like, hey, this was just one part of a faceless opponent plan that we're moving right along in the season.
Agreed. Blaine, I want to look at the other side of the coin. If you look at Michigan, and you want to talk about a high-class problem, lost your first game in a long time, it seems like, coming off an undefeated national championship year. When you look at this team going forward, I actually thought Davis Warren did some decent things. Like, you can see a little bit of a sparkle, but if Michigan is not able to really just around him, insulate him with a really good run game, staying on schedule, and at least having somewhat of a threat of hitting the big play, it's going to be tough for them to win games that get past, you know, 24 points.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on the team that you play, and you go back and watch that Texas game, not only Texas kind of threw a gas from the air a little bit, but they had success running between the tackles. I believe they had 150 yards and averaged 4.5 a carry. This Michigan team as a defense is as good as advertised. I still believe that. Texas out-possessioned, out-time when it comes to the clock against Michigan, which I would have never guessed that happened. The problem is you don't have a quarterback. You don't. You can say it's how Davis Warren did a couple good things. It's not going to be good enough throughout the year to really get you over the top. Now, J.J. McCarthy wasn't the best passer in the world, but J.J. McCarthy knew how to step up in big moments. Mm-hmm. His name got called in big moments, and he answered, and that did what? Other guys followed that, and that's a confidence.
And defenses understood that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Arkansas State, not going to be a big one this week, but next week you got USC at home. And this is not the same USC team we're used to. And it's kind of a good thing you brought up. Texas, Ole Miss, and USC are going to be a problem this year. And we've said this on the show before. If Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin, and Sark can get a defense from an offensive calling standpoint and the athletes they have, they can play with anybody in the net.
I think you can throw Josh Heupel in Tennessee.
I agree.
As well, one other thing about Quinn Ewers. You know, we talk about extending the play, right? We watch Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and these guys be able to extend the play outside of the pocket and do all these things. Quinn Ewers may be the best college quarterback at extending the play from within the pocket. How many times in that game did he step up with his eyes downfield, move up in the pocket or move a little bit laterally and find a guy across the middle? If you go back and watch most of their big plays, they really, David, weren't on time. Hey, 3-step, get it out. 5-step, let's find it. It's not there. It's not there. I'm going to move, keep my eyes downfield. And you got to give credit to the offensive line. But Quinn is so good at that, and that just kills you as a defensive coordinator.
0 sacks for Michigan against Quinn Ewers. And everything you're saying is true. And not only that, but then through the right type of ball, right? Like, this isn't somebody who just throws 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Some of these were, like, barely lobbed over linebackers in zone coverage. And that gets me to one rebuttal on Blaine's point. I'm not yet convinced that Michigan's defense is as good as advertised.
I'm with you on that a little bit.
If the advertisement was that they're the best in the nation, right? Now, that front seven still is really, really good. But I watched this Wink Martindale defense get exposed a lot, especially in zone coverage, which tells me it may have been even worse if they had played more man coverage, right? Like, Steve Sarkisian may have dialed up even more plays. They have a chance to prove they are, right? They have a chance to prove they are because Lincoln Riley's watching that tape right there and saying, well, you know what? My guy's pretty good too. Miller Moss is pretty good, and we're going to go do the same thing. We're going to go into the Big House, but now it's a conference matchup. And then Chip Kelly now is with the Buckeyes. You're going to play them in Columbus. Like, a lot of things need to get fixed.
I agree. I want to get to the chat. The phone lines are going to open 2:45. It's 1-1, this is my mind, 1-8-8. I totally forgot the phone number because I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next.
1-855-236-3228.
We'll throw it in the chat as well. when I want to caution people before they just totally jump off the Michigan train, it's just like we cautioned people last week before they totally jump off the Clemson train. I think a lot of what happened to Clemson was because that's how good Georgia is. Hmm. And there were some self-inflicted wounds. I understand that. Two things can be true at once. I'm not going to jump all the way off the Michigan train because I think that said, after just watching it, and there's times where I just watch the line of scrimmage during a play because that's going to tell me more than anything. Before everybody just throws Michigan away, I think this said as much about Texas as it did about Michigan.
So?
I really, really believe that because we knew who Michigan was, right? We knew offensively it was going to be hard to be able to hit explosive plays. They were going to kind of be a diet version of what they were last year offensively. It was, can that defense be elite enough? Can the defense be so good that it makes up for that imbalance? And I still think the defense is really, really good. You look at the players that they have and the way they move around. I just think Texas is a top three team in the country. To me, there's three or four teams that have separated themselves from everybody else. Don't think Michigan's going to win a natty. Don't think Clemson's going to win the natty. But that doesn't mean they're bad teams. I think they ran into a complete team.
Okay.
An elite team, if that makes
so
sense.
I said before the season, Michigan was the hardest team in the country to predict for a lot of those reasons and so much internal turnover. They're anywhere from a college football playoff team to 8-4. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm kind of hoping that the floor is 8-4, right, to at least give Sharon more of that so that he can build off of it.
But with that schedule, David, how many Texases are y'all going
to see? And that's what I was just about to say. If that's the case, if what you're saying is true, and you want to look at this like Alabama last year when Texas came to Tuscaloosa, beat them by 10 points. Steve Sarkisian dialed up some great plays. And then Alabama goes and runs the table, beats Georgia in the SEC championship, and makes it to the college football playoff. Like, if that's the case, now you don't have to quite do that because the playoff is tripled in size, but you pretty much have to run the table until you get to Columbus,
yep,
which is the last game of the season. At least Oregon doesn't look like world beaters, So you got that for you. And USC looks really, really good, but you get them at home and you could beat them. But that's if you don't stumble against anyone else.
Yeah,
right?
It's again, you just have to thread the needle even more now. And it's an unbalanced team. It makes it a lot harder to thread the needle. Maybe you bet on the Michigan game this weekend. Maybe you bet on Iowa State. It doesn't matter. I know you bet on the NFL. Anytime touchdown scores, there's only one place. If you want the best sports book there is, and that's betonline.ag, but I'll do you one better. You can have multiple sports books. This is America, baby. You can have as many as there are out there, but you need to make sure one of those is BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag. Website's really easy to navigate. The payouts are versatile. The methods are versatile. You'll get paid out on time any way you want it. Also, they're going to have a spread on everything, not even just sports. If it's out there to bet on, they'll have it. And if you use promo code Booster, which I know some of you have, BOOSTER, you get a 50% sign-up bonus of up to $250, free money. That's betonline.ag. Use promo code Booster. BetOnline, where the options are endless, and so is the fun. Blanye East, you made a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, your boy racked
in
11
G's. Really?
11 grand.
Wow.
11 smackaroo.
Breaking
right,
off some.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you done it, it's on topic. It will get red. We're going to start off with Jack5524. What's up? He said, never trusted Michigan because they lost too many players and their coach, and coaching matters. If Matt Ryan was coached for more than a few months by Shanahan, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I want to say that same point that he just said, I heard Matt Berry say. Someone shared it to me with Matt Berry, and Matt Berry basically made the point. And we like him. He's been on the show. I like Matt Berry a lot. He made the same point. I just thought it was a little disingenuous to look now at what has become true after 2 weeks. And thank goodness we got a test early here with Texas. They could have scheduled Eastern Michigan, looked bad, but still won the game, and then we still wouldn't know for another 2 weeks until they play USC. I think it's a little disingenuous to say we knew for a fact that Michigan wasn't going to be competitive this year before the season started, because while there was so much turnover, you still promoted from within. You promoted the guy from within who filled in for Jim Harbaugh when he was suspended, and you got All-Americans running around on both sides of the football, quite possibly the best defensive tackle in the country, maybe the best corner, one of the best tight ends. If Alex Orji, or we thought it was going to be Alex Orji at that time because he filled in so much in the Wildcat, if he had come in and been like an Anthony Richardson or even Joe Milton, we wouldn't have known for sure that this was like an 8-4 type team, right?
Yeah, and part of that statement's a little contradictory to me, because I don't think on one hand you can say, oh, well, we knew Michigan wasn't going to be as good because they lost all these players, but I'm also going to blame the coach is bad. Like, I don't understand how those two things. You saw Sharon Moore have to be the interim head coach for some, felt like half the year, for some big games last year with that team, and they won. So that contradicts itself to me. It's either got to be, hey, we lost too much, including the quarterback. Like, yeah, Texas lost a lot, but they got Quinn Ewers back, so it makes that transition a little bit easier. I think one of those things can be true, but putting those two together like it's some double whammy, like we've never seen Sherrone Moore have to call plays, number one, and then number two, be the head coach in a big game. Man, I think you got to pick your fighter there. I don't think you can take both of those.
And what if this coaching staff had looked in the offseason and said, man, yeah, head coach left, DC left, strength trainer left, 13 players to the NFL. Man, we're deficient at quarterback. Let's go pay Cam Ward whatever he wants. And Cam Ward went to Ann Arbor instead of down to Dade County. All the sudden, if all things else were the same, are you then going to say, oh, this wouldn't be a top 10 team?
Well, I wonder, and Jack, we appreciate it. It's an interesting argument. I wonder if Jim Harbaugh was the coach at Michigan with Davis Warren in this team. I don't think that outcome's any different Saturday.
Do you think it was closer? I don't think they beat him.
I don't know. It may be worth a touchdown, but not when you get beat like that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't we fluked into two, caught a tip pass for a touchdown, they fumbled a set. No, that was one team being a lot better than the other team. So I think you got to pick one.
Well, now the question is, for a group of guys that just earlier this year won their national championship and early next year will be in the NFL, how much urgency and how much pride is there in the next 3 months to really buckle down and do what you said, which is try and run the table?
Well, that's where you lean on the culture that the other guys left.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why you have it, and that's why it should permeate through and permeate down. All right,
Jack, calls are open today. All right, they are open. Feel free to call in. We're gonna go to the man from Michigan. Hopefully this is you, David. It says, David, is it just me? We hadn't looked this bad since the Rich Rod era.
Well, hold on now. Rich Rod, you and I were talking about this earlier today. If you put J.J. McCarthy on that team, you just brought it up with Jim Harbaugh, but Blaine and I were talking about with J.J. McCarthy. If you put J.J. McCarthy on this exact same team, what is the outcome of this game against Texas? Blaine, you said you think Michigan loses by a touchdown, which was the spread, right? Mm-hmm. That's being generous, too. I mean, look at the situations their defense got put in with an interception, a fumble, a terrible punt, all inside the 50. Like, that's hard to overcome. This was a bad loss. I don't think it's an unacceptable loss because of all the things that we just talked about with that much turnover within the building. But it is a bad loss no matter how you cut it. But again, like, we're 2 weeks into the season with all Americans running around the field and the culture. With Rich Rod, the culture completely changed. Mm-hmm. This hasn't changed from Jim Harbaugh's culture. I still think, look, man, just work every single day to get this much better every day.
Yeah, and last thing, and we got to move on, but Michigan didn't win a national championship because of J.J. McCarthy. Michigan won a national championship because J.J. McCarthy was a big piece, and it was a sum-of-all-parts situation. It was the mixture of J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum and that veteran offensive line blending in with a defense that's still really, really good. So, yes, J.J. McCarthy is probably worth a touchdown, maybe even 10 points. But that Texas team Saturday,
they're good.
Beats that same Michigan team if you switch Davis Warren and J.J. McCarthy. Because what made Michigan really good was all of it. It was all of the leadership. It wasn't Jaden Daniels running around and just throwing up to two great wide receivers and you can't stop anybody on defense. Michigan, that was a complete program dominant national championship season. All right, I do want to move on to, and anybody that says like, oh, week three is going to be no fun in college football, it's a lot better than nothing, buddy. I don't want to hear anything about that. People said the week two slate was going to be lame, and it was literally drunker than Leahy and Trailer Park Boys. So I don't want to hear anything about that. Let's start at a game that I hope people keep betting on, and they keep picking Wisconsin. I need this to get under 13.5. Alabama, in a really cool matchup, little SEC Big Ten again here, is going to Camp Randall to play Wisconsin. And when you look at this game, and I want to say this about Alabama first, I've been inundated with messages from Alabama fans, should we be worried, should we be worried? Alabama still has really, really, really good players. But even having really, really good players, if you do not play clean, if you are super penalized, if you turn the ball over, you're going to survive games most of the time against teams you're better than. But that's not what Alabama fans want. Alabama fans don't really care about the 30-point win over USF. The standard at Alabama is to win a national championship. And to win a national championship, Alabama is going to run into rosters, whether it be Georgia, whether we can go down the list of teams and Texas that are equal to better than theirs. And if you play as sloppily as Alabama has played in the first 2 weeks, you are not going to win those games. You're not going to just be able to out-talent everybody that you play. Even when Nick Saban had more talent than everybody that he played, they would beat you with the organization. That's what made the dynasty. So when I look at Alabama going up to Wisconsin, they should win this game. Mm-hmm. Alabama's more athletic. Tyler Van Dyke, don't trust him. Told you before the year how much we didn't trust him. And Wisconsin's offense is still pretty bad. Luke Fickell's going to have a great plan defensively. I do not question whether Wisconsin will know where to be, will know who does what, and will know what they're looking at. But it's one thing to know what I'm looking at. It's another thing to be able to stop it, right? I can tell you what Christian McCaffrey's probably going to do when he gets the ball. I'm not stopping Christian McCaffrey if he gets the ball. So Alabama should win this game. But Wisconsin, to me, their only hope is that Alabama will continue to make devastating penalties at devastating times and turn the ball over at a rate and make bad decisions at a rate that can keep Wisconsin in the game long enough to find a way in the fourth quarter to win it. Just keep it close enough. But David, I'm going to be honest with you. Outside of the Green Bay Packers roster, if they will just let Jalen Milroe do his thing and run him the way they need to run him, I know it's risky, but he's built really, really well. He's not like Jaden Daniels that's 180 pounds. I don't think outside of the Green Bay Packers roster, there's a person in Wisconsin that can tackle some of these cats, Alabama.
All the talent that Alabama needs is there, right there in the building. 20 penalties in two games and four turnovers in two games. That's the thing that Kalen DeBoer is going to be harping on in Malmore Fieldhouse this weekend. You can't commit 13 penalties against South Florida, especially when you're at home. Now, from people in the outside of college football world, they'll look at Alabama playing South Florida close and being up by one or whatever it was in early in the fourth quarter and say, oh, that's bad yet again. I just don't think they understand how this South Florida team is built and how this is what they do. They really punch above their weight and we got to look at that schedule because that could be the group of five team that ends up making the playoff. That schedule is really, really tough. But we'll talk about South Florida more later. I just think that those final four drives, four touchdowns in a row for Alabama, like that's what they're capable of when they're really moving, when they're really cooking. It's not always going to be like that. You're going to hit adversity. But a lot of teams lose that football game. A lot of teams that commit 13 penalties and turn the football over three times lose that football game. They don't win it 42-16. I think Alabama's going to get back right and have a field day against Wisconsin.
And Blaine, what a high-class problem to have that even when you play messy, and you can ask Auburn fans this, Hugh Freeze just talked about it, you're still able to find a way to win by 27. Yeah. But I will say this about South Florida. The defensive plan from Todd Orlando was one of the best that I've seen attacking Alabama with what he did, the way they were able to mix it up from a showing pressure and bringing it, showing pressure, not bringing it, giving you different looks. Jalen didn't look comfortable. Even the receivers at some points, I know it opened up wide lately, but South Florida can't throw the ball.
No.
Now, having said that, I don't think Wisconsin can throw the ball or run the ball.
Well, they could throw it a little bit better clip than South.
Oh, well, a little bit better, but Tyler Van Dyke in that pocket, man.
The biggest thing I took away from this game, we can go, this Alabama team was penalized heavily last year with Nick Saban.
They were.
2 years.
It's I've never seen a team play against Alabama and Alabama know what they're going to do and not be able to stop it. South Florida ran it down Alabama's throat. 200-plus yards of rushing, and they knew it was coming.
Yeah, everybody did.
So if I'm worried about anything, the offense will figure it out. You had huge holding penalties on huge big plays.
With a backup tackle.
You'll get that fixed. But if I'm worried about anything, all right, South Florida showed up, told you what they're going to do, and you couldn't stop it. And there's a couple teams out there, probably more than two, that can do both extremely good. All right, so if Georgia rolls into town and can average 5 yards a carry, you're in trouble. If Texas rolls into town averaging 4.5, 5 yards a carry, you're in trouble. If you play Ole Miss and they're averaging 4.5, 5 yards a carry, you're in trouble. You have to take something away. And USF looked at you and told you, and you couldn't stop it.
Well, if you're Wisconsin, who, and I want both of you, Chad, I obviously want to know what you think as well. If you're Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, you have a lot of air raid principles in what you do, which... We live in a weird time in college football. Arizona State's a power run team. Wisconsin's running the air raid. Vanderbilt looks pretty good. I don't know what's going on. But if you're Wisconsin and you know, hey, Alabama did struggle against the run, We still have those big white Siberian cave trolls up front, whatever. Do you try and play keep away in this game and just build it off play action?
For Wisconsin?
For Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
Or do you, with your air raid principles with Phil Longo, like, are you gonna say, you know what? Well, we can supplement the run with the pass and what we do because it's air raid. Because you know air raid is a lot of quick game. Yeah. It is a lot of hitch. It is a lot of get the ball out quick. And that kind of supplements. You get the same effect if the ball is caught.
No, I think the first thing, I think they're going to play keep away. And just keep in mind, like, Phil Longo, the air raid principles for him are mostly through the air.
Yeah.
The ground principles, he had two 1,100-yard rushers in the same season,
I think, in North Carolina.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, completely different than Mike Leach. Not through the air, but on the ground game, I mean, I think they're going to hand the football off. You're going to see a lot of bash, a lot of counter, a lot of, you know, they might try and spread them out wide with speed sweeps and stuff like that, too. They got to have everything going if you're going to stick mostly to the ground. But I agree with you, like, managing the clock. And if that's the game you're going to play, then field position becomes paramount. And that brings me back to one more thing about the Michigan Texas game that frustrated me. If you're going to play like that and you're going to be defensive team who runs the ball, you have to win field position, mm-hmm. right? Like, when you punt, it has to be effective. That's what we saw from Iowa, right? We were rewatching the Iowa-Iowa State game. Like, when Iowa punts, it's an automatic, it's inside the five, because if that's how you're going to play, you have got to win field position. So if that's the way Wisconsin's going to go, then yeah, don't ever find yourself on the short side of that.
What's the number at, Blaine? Do you have the number pulled up? It was at 16.5?
16.
What's the over-under at?
51.5.
51.5. So again, there's a very narrow path for Wisconsin, but what I see happening is, even if all that goes right, before we move on, let's say Wisconsin is able to run the ball and control the clock mm-hmm. and limit Alabama's possessions, and the game is close late. I just don't see a way in which Wisconsin, outside of Alabama, reverting back to what they did early last year and a little bit last week, but they ran it with Milroe a decent amount, especially when they needed to. And Milroe just wants to sit in the pocket and prove to everybody that he's truly a pocket passer. If he starts running around and they start moving, I feel like this is a game where Jalen Milroe may run for 200 yards. Mm-hmm. I like Wisconsin. The plan will be good. Guys will be in place. They'll know where to be, but can they get there in time? Because, again, if I'm Alabama and I've got Jalen Milroe, who is a tank, not that you want to run him 40 times, but I am going to make you prove that you can stop Q power. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you prove you can stop Q counter. I'm going to make you prove you can stop power read, obviously with the motion guy and the quarterback keeping it. It basically turns into Q power off a read play. And then I'm going to build my passing game off of that. Because once I'm hitting you with that, and you got to bring all the cheese and beer in Wisconsin in the box, well, that's when I find Ryan Williams. That's when I find Prentice. That's where I find all these guys on the outside. I just don't know a way in which, other than Alabama falling apart, that for four quarters, they can hem up Jalen Milroe.
So if I told you Jalen Milroe rushed for 200 yards in the game, like you said, is that because he had an 85-yarder and a 75-yarder that were untouched and he used his speed and got away? Or is he having 15 carries and he's averaging, you know, 10 a pop?
Well, I would think he probably hit him for a 50-yarder in the first half, maybe a 30-yarder. And then in the second half, when they got up 17, they just started really pounding that thing with Jam and those guys who got to hold on the ball. Like, that's another thing. Bama's got to hold on the ball.
If it's me, I'm finding every way I can to run Jalen Milroe.
I know. I know he's a quarterback. I get it.
I watched Lamar Jackson get killed for four quarters.
Yeah.
Running as a quarterback, design quarterback runs. There is a reason he is here. He's not built like Bryce Young.
Yeah.
All right. He is a big, strong dude. Who can fly? Run him.
Yeah.
Run him. Let's go to Bama Baller 217. Says, guys, I'm pretty confused on why we got under center in that goal line play. Can you please explain?
David, it's so weird for me. I tweeted this out because all we talk about all the time is we'll never understand why people get to the one and then get in shotgun. And I know that Nick Sheridan and them, they have practiced it. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen it a lot in games. I can't remember. I know it's still early in the year, and maybe this is something they wanted to implement, and I like the thought process. But when you get in that point in the game and you are having success, you know, and I know Alabama wasn't just blowing South Florida off the ball. South Florida held up pretty well, not really against the quarterback run game, but against the running back run game. Is it worth it there in your mind? It's tough. I just think it's like, listen, Jalen Milroe is my best player. He's in the shotgun 99.99% of the time. we haven't committed to this, and I haven't been in practice. Maybe they've been great at it in practice, but doing it in practice, we call this the Peyton Thorne. You can do it well in practice, but if it doesn't work in the game, it doesn't matter. So that I can guarantee you, Kalen DeBoer's, they're probably not doing that again. That's probably thrown out.
To me, if you want to play quarterback at Alabama, you got to get a snap under. You got to get a snap. I'm sorry, that's just the long.
I don't think you're wrong.
And I'm not. It might not have even been his fault. I'm talking about the center too. You got to be able to deliver a snap if you want to play center at Alabama. This is where the game has changed so much from when I played growing up. The standard was you get under center and occasionally we'll get in shotgun. Now everybody's in shotgun because you're playing leverage, you're playing space. That's fine. You got to be able to go under center and get a snap if that's what we need. Now, what's the main thing we saw Alabama struggle with a year ago? And we even saw it in the Rose Bowl. Shotgun snaps, yeah. Right? They were down at his ankles. They were everywhere. He was dropping them. It was bad. If that happened in the game on Saturday, the thing we could be saying is, why can't you just line up under center and get a snap
on the one-yard line?
That.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. It's just, again, you should be able to do it. Right? It's a different thing. But if I can ask you to run around and do play action and do all this, you probably ought to be able. If you can hit a three-pointer, you ought to be able to hit a free throw.
That was the most mad that I saw Sheridan in the box.
Oh,
the I guarantee you he was thinking the same thing.
No, to quote him, are you effing? Yeah. He didn't say effing. He said it. Screaming.
I felt for it.
All right, one more question.
Let's go to Southern Red. It says, and yet half our fan base does not believe in Jalen Milroe and B-I-T-C-H to have Ty Simpson in the game.
Hey, we'll take him. We'll take him down at Auburn right now.
I got text messages this morning from Darby Lou's family. I got text messages.
I'm going to say, if you're an Alabama fan and you think that Jalen Milroe is the problem, you're the problem.
Send him to Ann Arbor.
Yeah,
we'll
please.
Put him to
we'll take. I'll take half of him. Chop him in half. I'll take his lower half.
We'll trade
and we'll
orgy.
Put it on somebody. Yeah, that's not it. All right, we got to move on. The phone line is going to open here in 12 minutes. 1-855-236-3228. Got it right that time. Blaine, this one's a little personal here. Our friends, I want to talk about responsible man first, and we're going to pick our responsible man of the week. It was Clark Lee and Vanderbilt after a big win over Virginia Tech. Before we get to who it is, I want to tell you what it is. All right, it's a multivitamin that is packed with 33 key ingredients that support your immune system, sharpen your brain, and keep your heart and muscle strong. Look, us guys, we don't get all we need from our diets, all right? My wife's always complaining to me about it. So is his wife, I'm sure. Blaine, somebody probably randomly on the street screaming at him.
Yeah.
Ladies, if you want to make sure your man's getting everything that he needs, all right, men, you want to take some responsibility. There's a reason it's called responsible man. And you want to make sure you're getting everything you need without having to sit there and count, you know, well, I got this, I got that. It's very, very easy. You just take responsible man. You take this multivitamin. It's a Daily Wire Ventures company, so they're made right here in the USA. And they're not those vitamins that smell awful. It's like what I give my dog. They got a nice little minty flavor, and it's really, really, really easy. We wouldn't endorse it if we didn't believe in it. And right now, you can take advantage of responsible man's fall sale and get 30% off your order plus an additional $9 off your first order. Just go to responsibleman.com. Use code Booster at checkout. But hurry, this deal will not last long. Remember, gentlemen, strong America needs strong men, and strong men start with responsible man. That's responsibleman.com. Code Booster there when you get there for 30% off, plus $9 off your first order. Be the man your team needs. And our responsible man of the week is Blaine Stormer High School coach, the former offensive coordinator I used to work with, Brian Vincent in Louisiana
Monroe, baby.
2-0, beat UAB, a team that was better than they are, if we're going to play a game. But let's be honest. This week at home, he had to revamp the whole roster. Nobody lost any more than this guy. And I promise you, that team was so fired up to play because I've heard a lot of good pregame speeches. That man right there, you're seeing in that picture, not only is he a damn good football coach and play caller and leader of men, he can get you fired up. So shout out to our boy, Brian Vincent.
Hell yeah, BV.
Get him, baby.
I got a text Friday night that said Warhawks by a million.
Yeah, gosh, should have bet on it. Absolutely should have bet on it. All right, we got to get to the NFL, but I want to get to this Kansas State-Arizona game, David, on Friday.
Kansas State hosting Arizona on Friday. That line right now is -7 Kansas State, 57.5 on the over-under.
Well, this game is really, really interesting. Arizona offensively, you know, blew it out of the water against New Mexico week one, 61 points, struggled against Northern Arizona, only scored 22 points, beat them 22-10. The defense did step up after giving almost 40 to New Mexico. But I think the offense is going to be fine for Arizona. What I am worried about for them is this two-headed rushing attack that's coming in from Kansas State. And it's not just Avery Johnson. It's Giddens, too. Mm-hmm. Everybody talked about Dylan Edwards transferring from Colorado Kansas State. This DJ Giddens cat has went for over a buck two games in a row. And if you watch him, he can give it to you both ways. I mean, he's a guy that's very, very versatile. Is this a game, David, where Avery Johnson is going to have to throw the ball? Not that it's been bad, but I think he had like 24 attempts the first game, 21 attempts. Is Arizona going to stack this box and say, you know what? If you're going to move the ball, Kansas State, Avery Johnson's going to have to do it through the year.
Probably, but even if they stack the box, he's so great in the run game that you're still even, right? Like, even in your fits, you're still even because he can give you that advantage with Q power and quarterback design runs. And then if they add in, like, vertical relief off that in the RPO, that's where I think that Avery Johnson is so good. I'll tell you something else. After rewatching the Tulane game this morning that he's just terrific at is escaping the pocket and keeping plays alive with his eyes downfield through a couple touchdowns like that. And look, the thing about it is, if I'm Kansas State, I'm mostly worried about Arizona offensive attack through the air based off what I saw with Tulane. Now, the Mensa kid, we talked about it. That kid can flat out play football.
He's a freshman, I think.
Is he a freshman?
He's a freshman or sophomore, I think.
So he threw for 342. And the interception at the end, like, you know, Avery Johnson threw, maybe he didn't throw one against Tulane, but look, the Mensa kid is a really good quarterback. You're going to see another one 2 weeks in a row with Fifita coming in. My question to you is, we were talking about this earlier, was McMillan hurt?
I didn't get to watch the Arizona. He had two catches for like 11 yards. So Arizona fans, tell us in the chat, did he get beat up or something? I could not find any.
That's a week after a 300-yard receiver.
Well, David, and it's funny. Obviously, we got to talk about the passing game, Blaine, with Fifita and McMillan. But I'm looking at Kansas State's ability to stop the run.
Not good.
Like, it's not that. Not a lot of people are talking about that. So if you're Arizona, right? If you're Coach Brennan over there and you're like, all right, I know I have these weapons at wide receiver. I know I've got good skill position. I'm going to test the run a little bit early to make Kansas State, again, have to funnel resources down if it's working. Or if they're not going to funnel them down, we're just going to keep taking advantage of it, and that's fine. Kansas State's got to stop the run.
Yeah, they got to stop the run and they got to stop the pass. And realistically, how much do you believe in Avery when it comes to passing? If you go back and watch this Tulane game, Tulane had every opportunity to win this football.
Well, yeah, they had a fumble that got scooped and scored at the end.
So I think right now, if I'm going to bet this game, immediately take the over. Take the over. I don't believe in either of these defenses. If I had to believe in one a little bit more, I guess I would lean to Kansas State just because of an identity standpoint of who they've been the last 5 to 7 years. But it's going to turn into, I think, if this receiver, McMillan, is healthy, it's which quarterback can make the biggest play at the end of the game. You know, I think this, I wouldn't.
Is it who has the ball last?
Literally, what I'm about to say is wouldn't be surprised if this game came down to whoever had the ball last on offense.
Yeah. And, or a big special teams play. Or you saw what happened in that Tulane Kansas State game, which, by the way, Tulane goes to play Oklahoma this week, too. Mm. And after the way Oklahoma looked, and I know we got a bunch of Oklahoma fans that watch the show, you know, that want to hear about that as well, that's not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, going back to Avery Johnson, and one of the reasons that Giddens has been able to have this success, and we always talk about the quarterback run game, is truly how you get a hat on a hat. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to know one way to kind of even the odds and get it closer. Not that that backside defensive end can't fall into play and tackle the cutback, but every time I have a run action, if I have a running quarterback, even if he's not allowed to keep the ball, I am looking at that backside defensive end because it takes one guy out of the play. So now you're even closer to truly getting a hat on a hat when the running back gets it if that backside defensive end has to hold. So this game to me is going to be fascinating. I love that they're playing this on a Friday.
Me too.
I like that it's a standalone game. We're going to find out because I think we believe in Utah, right? We feel good about that. Oklahoma State, there's some questions. We're going to find out who may be the second best team in the Big 12 in this game. This really could kind of tell you if Arizona, did they really take a step on defense after, you know, giving up what? Over 100 yards rushing to Dampier from New Mexico and over 250 passing, may have been over 300. I can't remember off the top of my head. This is a hell of a matchup. I like the over, but part of me likes Kansas State in this game. I think, Blaine, to harken back to what you're saying, that physical identity, I think it's easier to patch up those problems on defense than it's going to be for Arizona.
And Arizona's extremely young.
You mean, and Fafita's not a great runner.
You mean
runner.
To cover or just to win?
To win. I think Kansas
to win outright.
State.
Yeah, okay, I think Kansas. Remember another thing on Gideon's, and maybe you were talking about this. Not only did he have the most rushing yards against Tulane, but also receiving.
Yeah.
Out of the backfield, he led the team in receiving too. So that's where a lot of those QB design runs where he's involved in the blocking scheme can easily become rail routes, especially formation to the boundary, not to mention the screen packages and all that kind of stuff. So when you have a back that's so good catching the ball out of the backfield too, it just becomes even that much more lethal against an Arizona defense that I haven't really seen you be dominant just yet in this.
What's the spread? What's the number on this game?
I believe last time I looked at it was 7.5, correct?
It was over, 7.5.
Over under was 62.
Wait, so Arizona was -7.5?
I'm seeing 7 flat on Kansas State.
Okay. Kansas State.
I'm seeing 7.5. 57.5. 7 flat. Over under right now looks like it's getting bet down a lot, and it's at 58.5.
Well, let that thing keep
And that might down. Have to do with Arizona fans. How healthy is McMillan? Is
that's what I need to know.
He's he's good enough talent to where he will drop a number. Like when it comes to over and unders, like if an injury does come out, I wouldn't be surprised if he's hurt why that number's dropping.
Oh, he's that valuable.
Yeah, he went from 300 yards receiving in a game to 11. Dude.
Yeah, but is that something where it's like, hey, maybe, you know, he kind of got a little banged up. It's Northern Arizona.
Sure.
Like, do we just...
I don't know.
Like, a little bit with Cam Rising, too, with his hand in that game. I know it was Baylor. I think they were extra precautious with that. Cam is going to be fine. Mm. Really cost Utah the cover because they were dominating that game early on. All right, the phone lines are going to open here in 3 minutes. Like I said, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let's get to the chat quick.
All right, let's go to iHeartKSU. He says, Jake, who do you think's better now, Avery or Will?
If you're talking about just single player, if you're like, if you put Avery on Ohio State, would Ohio State be better? Again, I've got to see him. I've got to see Avery Johnson throw the ball in big games.
Can we like, throw Kyle McCord into that?
Dude, oh, what?
Can we throw Kyle McCord into that?
Like, Kyle McCord should be in the Heisman.
I watched the entire state of Ohio throw that kid under the bus.
Dude, I said it all last year, and I got drilled for it. I'm like, bro, are y'all watching what I'm watching?
Some of the throws he made against Georgia Tech, I'm like, I would take him possibly.
He needs to be in the top five in the Heisman race. He's got over 800 yards of offense. Mm. The Syracuse people are so fired up. I, at least so this far, was so wrong on Syracuse, and I couldn't be happier for our man Cuse mode. We'll see how it goes. But I think right now, I don't think the difference is that big in between Will Howard and Avery Johnson.
I don't either.
I've just seen Will Howard play in so many more big games than I have Avery Johnson. Like, I've got to see it.
It's got a Carl's Wegger 9021T. He says, a lot of us Penn State fans are ready to send James Franklin packing. Give me your boys' thoughts.
Well, see, I feel a lot better than Notre Dame fans do this week. Here's what I'll tell Penn State fans, and here's why I wouldn't be worried or wouldn't be overly worried. If that game was that close because Drew Aller reverted back to what we saw in the past, then I would be worried. But that game was not like that because of Drew Aller. Y'all just got ran over by Bowling Green on the ground early, and it kept a minute, and you found a way to score. It found a way to figure it out late. At the end of the day, if the problem is Penn State, with the guys I know they have, gave up too many rushing yards against Bowling Green as opposed to Drew Aller being the problem, I think that's so easier fixed than having to totally fix Drew Aller. You guys are going to be fine. At the end of the day, and I hate to say it like this, but it's the truth, this could be one of the best things that could happen to you guys coming off the way y'all beat West Virginia's ass in that game. Kind of a little bit of a bring us back down to earth while we still won, which is going to be huge with the way the Big Ten's going to play out. So I would go easy on that. I know it's embarrassing because, you know, like, oh, it's Bowling Green. Leffler had a good plan. They made some plays. But Penn State is going to be able to stop the run. This wasn't a Drew Aller thing. That should give you guys a little solace.
Scott Leffler came in with a great game plan. And let's be honest, for the first three quarters of that game, Connor Bazelak played the best football game of his life.
Yeah, he did.
That interception to the corner, that was completely underthrown, and that's really when Penn State was like, all right, let's really just take over and win the game. But for three quarters, I mean, he was 90-plus percent completion percentage, 250-plus, multiple touchdowns. Like, he was putting the ball wherever he wanted.
They were cooking.
$10 donation from West Texas Forever. Who has a better receiving core in college football than Texas? Please tell me 4 future first rounders are sitting in that room.
He's talking about on the team now or that just left? Because I'm watching Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell doing it on Sunday.
Yeah, y'all lost those two and maybe better. That's the scariest part. They're right up there. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, is there another wide receiver group I would rather have right now? And it's not. And not just because they're really good players. They're so in sync with Quinn Ewers and Sark. Like, there's no There's no miscommunication. Like, how many times did you see somebody run a wrong route? How many times have you seen that? Like, guys are where they're supposed to be, and they block. That's another thing that we don't talk about enough. They block on the outside of Texas.
All right, let's go to Oops, I Did It Again 7. He says, guys, is Utah clearly the best team in the Big 12? If Cam stays healthy, I don't see how they don't win it.
I think they are. Said it at the beginning. I feel a lot better about it after watching Oklahoma State and Kansas State so far. But again, I mean, this is a week-to-week thing. This is what makes football so hard. Teams go up and down. How consistent can you be? Well, what helps consistency? Experience. And Utah has that in spades. And the way they play, whether it's in the Pac-12, whether it's in the Big 12, whether it's in the ACC, the SEC, or the FCC, they're physical. But and
somehow,
that translates.
Somehow UCF still has the best odds to make the college football playoff from the Big 12.
That's
you explain.
Please keep Vegas, keep doing
explain
that.
Explain it to me.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It might be an ESPN thing, not a Vegas thing, yeah, which would explain a lot more.
Hold my hand and explain it to me. All right, the phone lines are open. Going to get to them in 1 second. Quickly, guys, though, we had NFL week one. Want to hit these best and worst real quick. David, who was your best this weekend in the NFL?
I'll tell you who my best was. Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. Everybody just left them for dead. Were they playing the Giants? Yes. Is this the best that it's ever going to be? And the last time we talk about them? Possibly. But you know what? This guy, Kevin O'Connell, just give him any quarterback. Give him any quarterback. It doesn't matter. He's going to find a way to win. 28-6 victory over the Giants on the road. Sam Darnold, 19-24, 208 yards, two TDs. You know what? Maybe I can fulfill my lifelong dream to just play professionally for one game. If something happens, God forbid, Sam Darnold goes down. Kevin O'Connell, call me, because clearly you can win with whoever is at quarterback, and I want to take part in that.
Well, a lot of what we said about Sam Darnold was not that, hey, this guy can't play quarterback. It's that he can't make it through six games. So was I shocked to see this performance, especially against the Giants? No, but can he maintain it by just maintaining his ability to play? That's been Sam Darnold's kind of bugaboo a little bit. He'll get in rhythm, then get hurt, then have to come back, then look bad, then get hurt, then get in rhythm. It's like this cycle of chaos. He can keep playing like that. And again, it is the Giants. But if I'm Justin Jefferson, I'm feeling a whole hell of a lot better than I was feeling about 2 weeks ago.
Or if you have Justin Jefferson in fantasy football.
Oh, for sure.
You're feeling a lot better. Like,
for sure.
I will say, really weird watching Aaron Jones score touchdowns in purple.
Especially when you play for the Pats.
That's weird,
like,
man.
It's like Batman dressing up
that's
as a
That's your
Joker.
Divisional rival, man.
It's 100% Batman dressing up as a Joker. My best is a guy that, and I typically don't pick guys that lost their game to be my best. But Jaden Daniels looks like he belongs already. There were some throws that he's going to want back. But as far as a poise standpoint, his own offensive line talked about this with the Commanders. They did lose the game. I was worried, will he keep himself out of harm's way? Well, he ran for 88 yards on 16 carries for 2 touchdowns, averaged almost 6 yards a carry. He didn't run around like crazy. You saw Caleb Williams take some bad sacks. Didn't really see that a lot with Jaden Daniels. But I was wondering if he could take care of himself. Has he learned his lesson from LSU going into the NFL? You are not the size of Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson can't even make it 4 games running like Anthony Richardson. And yes, is his slide ugly? It's ugly as hell. There's kindergartners that can somersault better than that, but it works and it keeps him upright and healthy. The Commanders, at least so far, I picked Jaden Daniels to be my rookie of the year. Still feel really good about it. This guy belongs.
It's a good pick. Let's button that chin strap and helmet up a little tighter.
Yeah, play good.
My best, my best and worst kind of correlate, and it's kind of fun doing it. Baker Mayfield.
Guys, good boy.
Bald.
That's good, boy. Isn't he?
Bald.
I mean, just like a QBR 90+, 144 in the RTG. I'm pretty sure 3 touchdowns. I mean, basically completed every pass he threw. Mike Evans looked great. Played against him in fantasy. Trust me, kill me. And then we flip it. I'll just go ahead and do my worst. A team he wasn't good enough to play for. Deshaun Watson and Cleveland Browns. Mm.
That was banned.
Woo! Buddy, you paid him a lot of money to be ass. A lot of money. And Baker's over there. Hey, Baker wasn't good enough to play for y'all. He wasn't good enough, and he's over there bawling.
Yeah.
Bawling for the Buccaneers. And now brings up the best question. Deshaun Watson, a better football player or a better person?
That's tough.
You know, with Baker Mayfield, sometimes we look at people in society and, I was watching a show the other day and it was like, I got married twice before this. It didn't work out, but I found the love of my life. My soulmate was the third person I married. We've been together for 25 years. Sometimes you got to kiss a couple frogs. Mm. It feels like Baker has been through a couple marriages, been through some nasty divorces. Hell, you had to live in Cleveland for a little bit. But now you found your soulmate, right? And she's in Tampa, right? Y'all are hanging, driving to the beach, you know, dressing up like pirates, walking around. This feels like a great fit, and I am really happy for Baker.
Also, you know, Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, dude, and they were Mike talking Evans about not resigning him.
He told you he wasn't.
I mean, nobody, but I just don't hear it a lot.
Yeah,
what 10 straight seasons?
Him and Johnny
Manziel. 1,000 yards.
It feels like Mike Evans has been playing forever.
Hall of Famer.
It feels like he's been playing forever.
And don't forget, Mike Evans was with Johnny Banz.
Yeah. Hey, honorable mention too. Saquon Barkley's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
God, the Giants.
The Giants.
Organization.
Oh, burn it down.
Is Jordan Love, how
4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6.
Sprained MCL.
Okay, so that was a good ball game.
Yep.
Really good ball game. The field was terrible. Every time they go play in, you know, England or London or Brazil or Iraq, like the field is always terrible. They need to fix that. My worst, pretty simple. Daniel Jones and the Giants. You know, if there's any glimmer of hope, Carson Beck, congratulations. You're the next quarterback of the New York Football Giants, and I'd take him right now over that cat. He may look like Buzz Lightyear, but he's not going to infinity beyond. He's going to take his ass in an infinity pool because he's going to be beyond the NFL. Yeah.
Their only hope is playing running back for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What's my worst? The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
What is going on? And we drove by the stadium. We drove right through Cincinnati. Bowling Green, actually, too, but drove right through Cincinnati as we were coming back from Ann Arbor. All credit to the Patriots, 170 yards rushing. Maybe the Patriots will be a little bit better than we thought this season. I still think it's going to be rough sledding. But what is this narrative and this trend that's been created in Cincinnati where every single year at the beginning of the season, they have no idea how to play football?
It's weird.
They really just don't. And it's not just they lose games. I mean, it's the NFL. You can lose to anybody. They lose bad. They look terrible.
Y'all made the Patriots look explosive.
They didn't score until a minute left in the third, something like that.
But, I mean, you're fumbling the ball. It's just like it was a comedy of errors.
It looks like you
fumble a punt.
Didn't want to play.
This is the team that we keep talking about every year. Will someone rise up in the AFC and beat the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl?
Well, this is like, we talk about the boy who pulled the sword out of the stone, Joe Burrow. It's like, the prophecy said that, there was a newborn in the East Kingdom. They said this is the one that's going to be the great leader. And you go walk over there, and he's clubfoot and has one eye. That's what it looked like to me. I mean, if this team's going to beat the Chiefs, are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, now it's to the point now, you better pay Jamar Chase. You better pay him. Cincinnati's always been weird about paying guys. Always been weird about contract extensions. You better pay him or this ship's going to sink quick.
Yeah.
Because Joe Burrow might be Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow don't look like Joe Burrow unless Jamar Chase and other guys are running around.
No, but I will say, though, if they were going to turn it around, if they had, they were trying to maybe grow your business. Maybe your commerce platform needs to be ready to sell wherever your customers are and you're starting from scratch and you want to crush it. Well, they need Shopify. Shopify could definitely help them with that. Probably couldn't help them with what we saw on the field. But as far as selling stuff, all right, our marketing team uses it every day to sell our merch. Make sure you get some of that Crane & Co. merch. And when you hear this, hit that button, David. Y'all, we rich, y'all. All right, that means you made another sale. Because nobody does selling better than Shopify. That's why they're home to the number one checkout on the planet. So if you're ready to take your business to the next level, all right, you want to upgrade it Beyonce style and get the same checkout we use with Shopify, then you need to sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/CRAIN, all lowercase, because we're humble around here. Go to shopify.com/CRAIN to upgrade your selling today. And when you hear this, play it one more time, David. You must have gone to Shopify.com/crane, and now you make it a rain. That rhymed.
Make it rain,
look,
son.
Shopify. Check it out. All right. Let's get to calls, David. I'm ready for this, my buddy.
All right. Let's get to calls. Give me 1 second. Let's go to Ian in Utah. Ian, talk to us.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, Ian. Can you hear us?
All righty. I'll be quick because I know we got a lot of people on the line. So I wanted to ask, you guys think BYU is the it's the Iowa of the Big 12 watching that game against SMU.
Hey, you're 2-0.
When we're on offense.
Dude, well, you know, you had hoped, like, if you're a BYU fan, you watch that first game with Retzlaff, right? What did he not do? He didn't really put the ball in harm's way, right? It was in sync. Now, I know it was Southern Illinois. I think that was the first game where you guys played. Well, going to what's up?
Oh, nothing. You're good. Go ahead.
Playing SMU, a defense that looked a little vulnerable against Nevada, but played better. Retzlaff put the ball in harm's way a decent amount. It started to look kind of a little bit like last year and dysfunctional. But the difference between last year and this year is you guys found a way to win the game. And I think that kind of shows you the belief in that locker room. Now, make no mistake, what SMU put out on the field on offense is such cheek water. I'm almost drowning in it watching. I am so upset that I believed, at least to this point, in SMU offensively, because Preston Stone was really good last year. Now you come in and you're running this two quarterback platoon system. Rhett, what are you doing, dog? And to be honest with you, Jennings looked better than Stone did in that game.
Hey, was Rasheed Rice on SMU?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like again, Ian, that game, I mean, how ugly was that on offense? It doesn't get much uglier than that. I mean, you got turnovers, they're turning it back over. SMU gets inside the five, and Rhett's a really smart offensive mind. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, man, you had your guy in Preston Stone. Like, and now you're running this every two drives, let's put a new guy in, it just doesn't work. And you know what? He did stick with Jennings once it was proven that it was going to work with Jennings, but SMU's offensive line, bad. SMU's defensive line played better, but I think BYU's offense is, I thought those were two very average teams, Ian.
Yeah, I will say, mark my words, Jay Hill, I think, will be a P5 head coach for the next 2 years. Bro had a heart attack last week, and he's back calling plays. He's a tough, tough cookie, you know. Prayers up for his recovery.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I mean, if you're going to bounce back like that after a heart attack and put on a defensive performance like that, I mean, God, what happened?
As a guy who definitely didn't pick BYU to win only three games, hey, we're not complaining about 2-0.
No,
we're not complaining.
No, yeah. No. Again, and like I said, when I'm right, I'll tell you I'm right. When I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you I'm wrong. So far, and again, not a conference game for SMU. Still think they have time to turn it around. But I look at that offensive line, man. I don't know how much turning around there is other than in a bad way, and this is a family show.
Appreciate it.
Great call, Ian.
Hey, call in before y'all play Kansas State, man. Thank you. All right, let's go to Jacob in Anaheim, California. Jacob, let's keep the momentum going on this Monday.
Boys, we got football.
Yes. I'm yes.
So happy. Yeah. I was trying to actually call in Friday talking about you guys' or two of you guys' dog bets with Mississippi State. But, boys, Sun Devils are 2-0 and held Jeff Levy and those boys to 3 points in the first half.
Hey, Scataboo may be one of my favorite players in the country now, like after watching that. That dude is an absolute
that boy
tank.
Likes football. Loves it.
An absolute tank. It's funny, though. Arizona State is a power. I know Dillingham wants you guys to be more wide open. What's the matter, Blaine?
I've never had. He brought up dog bets, and just, I had a flashback of Arkansas and Tulane.
You almost hit both.
Yeah. I've never had both, two though. Dog bets come.
Well, that's close. Why. That's why. I mean, we take the dogs. You're not going to hit many of them, especially not all of them. But if you're Arizona State now, and Mississippi State's roster is a little deficient, the momentum's got to feel so good compared to the way it was just an absolute abject disaster with Herm Edwards. And look, Kenny's a young coach. He's only going to get better. And I love his passion. Did you see him run out in the field, like pass the numbers and call that timeout to where the ref was like, coach, you can't do that. Like he literally was like in the play. He was like a tight end.
And the best part of the whole thing is Kenny's post-game conference afterward. He said, it's great that we beat SEC. Fine. You get one day, you get a nice little post about it. It's on to Texas State.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Texas State game is going to be a damn game.
Yeah. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. Yeah. But I mean, it's again, and I know Tempe and that as many students as y'all got and as much as they party, y'all can turn that place upside down real quick.
Next 3 weeks, Texas State, Texas Tech, and Kansas. Now, Texas State, like you said, that's gonna be a tough game.
Then
Texas Tech hadn't shown me that they can beat.
I do want to say this to Mississippi State fans too. Y'all are gonna have to be patient. Levy doesn't have the roster right now to be able to do the things he wants to do. But you could see, even in that loss, the fight that team had in the second half on the road, kind of building that foundation for the future. But all credit to Dillingham and Arizona State. Glad you guys are back, man. It's good to see you.
Appreciate it, Jacob. All right, let's keep rolling right along. Let's go to Robert in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Robert, what's up?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Robert, yeah. What's up, Robert? Man? I'm loving the energy on a Monday.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guess what day it is?
What?
It's my level up day, boys.
Hey, level up.
How old are you?
Level up, Robert. One.
What level are you hitting?
I'm hitting level 30.
Oh, wow, that's big good.
One.
Good.
Big one.
Well, hey,
good.
You too, dude. You're not alone, okay?
You're the same
you get one
players
of the early not bosses alone in the game. Like Black Myth Wukong, this is like one of the secret bosses you get to fight.
Feel 30, Robert?
Do I feel 30? Nah.
Yeah.
Good. But good answer.
You know what? I feel 23, and I think I will for the rest of my life.
That a boy. Wow. I love the positivity.
I love it.
Oh,
you're a
yeah
responsible man.
So, I got a couple things about last night's game.
Nice.
So my first question is, was it the Lions playing sloppy, or do you think that the Rams were ready and that
Rams
they had a
good
game plan for the Lions?
I think the Rams are really good.
Rams
I think
good.
I think Jared Verse is good God.
Was, well, you wonder why Florida State, like, look at Braden Fisk and Jared Verse.
Yeah.
Starting to make sense yet?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The Lions, this is the hardest thing about when you start, like, upgrading and getting better and better, like the book gets out on you more and more. So like Dan Campbell, it's yeah, we always say it's not how you adjust. It's at first, it's how you adjust to when they adjust to you. But in the NFL, it's always an adjustment, right? So they're going to have to keep finding ways because we know what they're good at. But at the end of the day, man, it's, you know, it's early in the year. Sean McVay and them are always going to have a good plan. And look, those are two talented, talented
yeah,
teams.
And you won, man. You found
you
a way
won,
not
yeah
not just to win a good football team, a good football game against a good football team, but you held Sean McVay and Matt Stafford and the rest of those guys who looked healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Cooper Kupp looked healthy. Puka Nacua, I know he went off to the sideline for a little
kind
bit or whatever.
Back.
You held them to 20 points, which
cool
tells me, I think maybe there's a defense in Detroit.
Well, Robert, did you ever think, as you sat in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that you would be to the point as a Lions fan where you're complaining about the way they played in a win?
You know, honestly, I didn't know if I'd ever like get to this point in my lifetime, given the record over the last like mm-hmm two decades.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a good complaint to have.
It's a high class problem
in a way.
Yep. It's a high-class, you know, problem.
How about Jameson Williams?
That's what I was going to say. If anything, like, one thing you should be excited for is Jameson Williams is start to look like Jameson.
Dude, he can fly.
And but another thing I kind of got a question about. I know you got thunder and lightning at running back when it comes to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but I get confused sometimes. Like, David Montgomery is your short yardage back. Mm-hmm. He can be a do-it-all back, but y'all get in goal line and just leave Jahmyr Gibbs out there
I saw the
six
same
plays
thing
in a row, yeah, and I just don't understand
I
why.
Know.
It seems like the platoon, with what I was seeing, was, okay, it's Jahmyr's drive. It's
okay.
David Montgomery's drive. I don't like that nearly as much. I like it much more like, hey, what is
what
the goal
best
of this
well, you
play
can get away with yeah that at running back. Like like we're talking about SME, you can't get away with that at quarterback. Like, I can sub another running back in the game and run a play.
I just don't want you to get into the Dan Campbell to get into the problem. It's fourth and one, and you got Jahmyr Gibbs out here running the ball. Like, that's going to get you criticized.
You
well, to me,
I'd put
both of them out there. I'd put Jahmyr in the slot, yeah, put him in motion.
With Laporta out there, 21
with Laporta
personnel
out there and David Montgomery in the backfield,
yeah,
you know. Again, it's like old boy said on the water boy, the only thing better than one lobster dinner is 12 lobsters.
I'm sure Ben Johnson will have it all dialed up throughout the season.
Appreciate
it, Robert. It's a great win.
Great
hey,
call,
hey,
man.
Happy level up day, buddy.
Yeah, have a great one. All right, let's go to Voltar in North Carolina. Boys, are y'all ready for this? Voltar, what's up?
Hey, good win for y'all over Charlotte.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the boys in orange and white. You know, they handled their business in Charlotte. And, you know, I saw some tweets by NC State fans before the game. And, you know, as much as I clown on NC State fans for being kind of idiotic, they kept saying, pack by 10, you know, meaning they were going to beat us by 10. And, you know, they were finally intelligent to realize they were only going to score 10 points in the game. So I'll give them that. So at least they were
maybe they said pack got 10. Maybe you're just mishearing them.
Yeah.
Josh, I want to say this about...
At least we can read as fans.
Yeah, I want to... Oh, good one, Justine. Good one, Justine.
Wow.
Can't zone read, that's for sure. But here's what I would say about Tennessee. If you're a hater of Tennessee, if you do not like Tennessee, what happened on Saturday was the worst possible scenario for you. Because Nico didn't play great, and they still just beat you to sleep.
Which is the best sign for Tennessee.
Which is the best sign for Tennessee.
The first time he faced adversity, he's still bald.
He's only going to get better. That defense. And listen, I know Grayson McCall and that pro-style system looks, it's a little bit up and down. They did get absolutely gassed up by Western Carolina on the ground. That defense did. But what Tennessee did in that game was total and utter domination. This Tennessee team is for real. Like we said, there's a reason some of us have them in the playoffs.
Hey, I can't wait to see how it plays out. I mean, it helps having 12 guys on the D line. You can just interchangeably rotate.
God, it's the best
thing. And also, one last thing I wanted to say. I saw a meme and it was very funny. And it was like Tennessee fans right now. And it was a picture of Happy Gilmore. And it's like, ooh, looks like Happy learned how to putt. And that's how it feels.
It should feel like that. You guys are a complete football team.
Yeah.
You're a complete football team that can run it and stop the run. And when you can do that, it's a fun game to watch.
Appreciate it, Josh.
Very fun. Well, anyways, thank you guys and go.
Josh, see you, buddy.
Thanks,
see you, man.
All right, let's go to JT in South Carolina. JT, what's up?
Hey, fellas, how's it going? Spurs up, first off.
Man, what a turnaround, man. Dude,
I would have bet my foot that Kentucky would have just beaten the snot out of them. But, so now very excited for Saturday. But, out of all that excitement, just got demoralized yesterday when the Panthers forgot to play football, evidently. But
you knew they were going to suck.
You got game day coming.
Come on, you got LSU this weekend.
Yeah, dude. I mean, well, that's what I'm calling. I mean, have we seen enough from Bryce?
Bryce Young?
I mean,
dude.
Not yet. Give him to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Give him to Thanksgiving.
It's getting harder to defend him, I will say that. Yeah. It is. I know they don't have a ton of weapons, but it's getting harder to defend him.
Well, I mean, you have what was it, half a billion invested in the line and, other, weapons, Xavier Leggett, Carolina.
Yeah, well, JT, there were times where he had a clean pocket and he wasn't even close.
Not even that.
Like, it's one thing that, hey, I'm running around for my life. I can't even set my feet and throw. We're still making some plays. But like when you're sitting back there and it looks like that, it looks that bad.
I haven't seen it that bad.
Yeah. I haven't seen it that bad. It's almost like reverse.
Well,
CJ
here's the
Stroud.
Thing. You're stuck with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
So you might as well just sit back and hope it turns around.
At this rate, we potentially what, going to have top three pick in the draft?
Hell, at this rate, y'all got the number one. Y'all going to get the number one pick.
That's what I'm saying, So, I mean, at least till this year, but
do y'all play the Giants this year? Because that might
here's the real question. Everybody should have. Could Dylan Stewart start for the Panthers right now on the defensive line?
Yeah,
that freshman in South Carolina. Do you see what he put on tape again this week? God, God Almighty, and he has no idea what he's doing.
I don't even know if I should bring him up because there's just a coalition of hate.
Look,
South Carolina fans, and maybe not you, JT, but I am willing, all right, to be the guy y'all hate. For y'all to be successful,
you would.
I'm willing to do that for you.
You would.
I like Beamer that much.
Okay. Wow. How noble
like
of
Beamer
you.
Too, and I hope that saves him a year.
I want to say this though. I do want to say this. And Shane's typically really good with like having a feel on the fans. He did say like there was a lot of lazy narratives about this South Carolina team after the first week. I don't think it was lazy narratives. I just think y'all played like shit against Old Dominion.
Yeah, I just think our
like. What do you mean it's a lazy narrative? Good. Like, did you watch that game?
Well, you want me to watch the game? You'd be like, man, look, they're a really damn good football team.
Yeah, here, let me go run around the neighborhood and then have another take real quick. I thought that was a little bit, like, he was trying to get back at the haters. I get that, but, like, I don't know. I don't know if you could have pulled that one off.
Yeah, I don't like the kind of, to me, it's kind of disingenuous take on, well, we fought really hard, Well, it was Old Dominion.
I got... A lot of respect for Old Dominion. I mean, hell, they got more tradition than New Dominion, but you should have beat them worse.
Appreciate it, JT.
Appreciate it, man. Great call.
All right, let's stay in South Carolina and go to Kevin. Kevin, talk to us.
How's it going?
Kevin, what's up,
Kevin?
So Saturday was a good learning experience. I you can almost tell from the beginning when they were doing the they're interviewing Moore right before the game, and he's like, they're like, would you let him know in the locker room? How's the, you know, what would you tell him to go on the field? He's like, have fun out there and good game, you know? So I think they kind of lost that sight in the second quarter, but they kind of gained it back in the fourth at least. So we got a lot of good tape for, to learn from, because I think we actually needed it.
But, yeah, I'm talking about Michigan.
Talking about Michigan.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I still think we could still go 11-1, and still get knocked around in the playoffs a little bit. But we got a quick start of Ohio State with Ewers and how he plays, and we got all the tape we need for USC for next week. So I think if we hold what we did in the last half, I think we'll be fine. But we really need to get our identity, though.
Jake, 11-1 out there? I'm wondering if we can just beat Arkansas State.
Well, the question is about growth potential for this team, right? That's the question. Like, what? How much growth can we see when you're not playing? Like, you're still going to have to play Oregon, who, regardless of what anybody tells you, is still a very talented football team. They're still figuring it out as well. You got to play Ohio State. We know that. When I look at this, everybody's going to be talking about the offense, and they should. If I'm a Michigan fan, I was more surprised, and David, obviously, you know, you're at the game. I was more surprised by the way the defense struggled. Mm-hmm. Not that Quinn's going to get you a couple times. Sark's going to get you. But Texas was able, whenever they wanted, to line up and run the ball with success with backup running backs.
With consistency.
They lost their top two running backs during fall camp. All right? They basically, you know, brought the third and fourth string guys up to first and second string because they had to. Not the Texas. Those guys are still talented, but I don't know if the growth potential for Michigan, if the defense isn't going to be unbelievably elite, like the most elite in the country. I don't think 11-1 is there. I had them 9-3 before the year, and I feel even better about that.
Just doesn't help when your defense is on the field for the entire.
I get that.
That is true. That is true, but to me, if that was the reason we lost, then it should have played out more like Clemson and Georgia in the second half, and then we got blown out. I'm telling you, we were beat from the jump. Now, yes, there was an interception, a fumble, and a bad punt that all started at midfield or worse for the Michigan defense, but Quinn still was having his pick of the litter. And what I was saying before the game to you guys is, okay, let's just say that there's this bend but don't break strategy where Quinn Ewers really moves the ball well between the 20s, then you got to constrict the field in the red zone and at least force Texas to kick field goals. Well, they did that one time on the opening drive. Texas missed the field goal. We're feeling good about it. That's the closest Michigan ever got. From there on, they feasted. And outside of Michigan's kicker, there wasn't one positive.
I think Wink Martindale did a really bad job calling third down plays.
I really do, too.
Well, what do you mean? Was he too aggressive or was he not aggressive?
Yeah, the feel wasn't there. He was too aggressive on long third down, wasn't aggressive enough on short third downs. Mm-hmm. It kind of fell backwards to me. I mean, you can't let – you got Texas into 16 third downs.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can't let them go 10.
How many they convert, you know?
Well, 10 for 16.
10 for 16.
And Michigan went 3 for 11.
Well, that's why, again, not getting to Quinn Ewers, right, and letting him extend the play from the pocket, that I don't know it off the top of my head, but out of those third down conversions, I'd be willing to bet at least half, maybe even over half, Quinn got off his spot. Mm-hmm. Quinn had to get off his spot to get it, and he probably did. That's what I would guess.
Appreciate it, Kevin.
We'll see, Kevin. Good call.
You know, that reminds me, last year, weren't we talking after the Texas-Alabama game last year how Alabama had zero sacks on Quinn Ewers and his jersey was clean?
Look, sometimes when they say smooth is fast.
I don't think there's a better third down play caller than Steve Sarkisian.
He's way up there, man.
Well.
He's way, way up there.
Great call, man.
Golly, thanks, man. All right, let's go to Jimbo in New York. Jimbo, how you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling great overall, man. That was such a big win for our program.
Syracuse going to win ACC.
I'm going to tell you, like, and Jimbo, you can flame me on, buddy, all you want, because so far at least, I was right about Kyle McCord, but we knew the skill position at Syracuse around him. There are some guys that, you know, are tall and longer and can run. But I was worried about you guys on the line of scrimmage and doing what you did to a Georgia Tech team that showed us kind of who they are on the line of scrimmage. Not that y'all were great on defense, but this Syracuse team is a problem. You guys are an absolute problem.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what? One week at a time, we've seen how crazy college football has gotten, even with Northern Illinois losing to Notre Dame. We're not overlooking Stanford this Friday either. So,
no, you can't.
We'll see. But the biggest reason why I called today is, you know, as big of a win as that was for the Orange, special teams nearly cost us that game, though. Dude. So here's what we had. We had a blocked field goal. We had a blocked punt. And late in the fourth quarter, we failed to recover an onside kick, which resulted in Georgia Tech going down the field and scoring. So forget who the teams are in this situation. Let's just say you're the head coach of a team that allowed this bad of a performance on special teams. What immediate actions do you take going into the following week? And do you consider firing your special teams coordinator, even though you did escape with the win?
Well, you obviously, when you win, it makes it a little... makes it a little bit easier if that would have cost you that game. And going back to the first week, Jimbo, did y'all have many problems on special teams week one? Was there problems there or was it pretty smooth?
I think it was pretty smooth overall.
I don't think this is going to happen again. No, I think that would be an overreaction. Even if you lost, what you have though is really one of the best things you can possibly have. You can go in there after a huge win, after everybody on campus is patting the guys on the ass when they walk by, and you guys are so good. Y'all are going to bring Syracuse back. You know what you can say with Fran Brown if you're in that next team meeting? Hey, I know everybody's telling you how good it is. Let me show you what's going to cost us down the road. So you can use the momentum from a win, but you can reel them back in because there were those devastating plays against you. So while you don't want to give it up, while you would much rather be like, hey, we played great on special teams, we played great on offense, we played great on defense, now as you continue to build this thing the way Fran Brown wants to build it, you have something to point back to that said, guys, we almost lost out on all this happiness because of special teams. And nobody, I'm telling you, that's a lonely position being the special teams coordinator, especially when it goes bad. So I wouldn't say fire them, but it needs to improve. And knowing the way that Fran operates, it will improve.
Appreciate it, Jimbo.
Hey, congrats, Jimbo,
man. Keep it rolling.
Really all happy right. You got to go see that in person, buddy. Yeah, that's man, what it's I all about. Too.
All right, let's go to Brian in Nebraska. Brian, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Let me tell you, it is a great weekend and week in the household.
This feels like perfect timing.
Nebraska won, and then Wednesday we're going to be welcoming a new baby boy.
Man. Dude, have a little kid
video. He's like, I'm playing Fortnite. I got pizza rolls.
Yeah, you're going to have a kid. Dylan Rayola's cosplaying as Patrick Mahomes, which is a great idea. If I was going to cosplay as anybody at quarterback,
weird, though.
It would be Patrick Mahomes. See, it's really not, though. I think
you're a grown man pretending to be another guy.
What? Emulating Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, and it works. It'd be one thing if you were trying to do it and it didn't work and you look like an idiot. Oh boy, is doing it, and it looks like the little nuanced move that he makes guys miss is 100% Patrick Mahomes.
What if Patrick Mahomes just saw this guy play when he was like in middle school and was like, man, like, I'm gonna swagger Jack this Texas guy, Tech, but he got famous before
David,
him.
David, he's at Texas Tech watching Huddle. And like, now, you know, the Huddle.
And now Dylan Rayola is just being himself.
We all know he's doing it, all right? But he came out and said he's not. We all know you're doing it.
That's good. Play good.
Don't say you're not.
You think anybody in Nebraska gives a damn that he's cosplaying Patrick Mahomes when he just ripped Colorado's guts out and showed it to him before they threw him off the ship?
No, I'm not. I'm not from Nebraska, though.
I mean, look good for you,
it's
Brian.
Working.
Yeah, who
I'm not
cares?
Change what shirt I wear on game day. Keep
God, I would.
It.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's like that's.
It can work and be weird at the same time.
It's like, man, you're cosplaying as Michael Jordan, and it's working.
Oh, you're talking about Kobe Bryant?
Yeah,
Kobe did that for years.
I would love to cosplay as the greatest guy. Oh man, you're cosplaying as Chef Gordon Ramsay. Well, the food's pretty damn good, ain't it? Who cares? Win the game, play good.
Oh, good win.
Hey, good luck on Wednesday, too.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course.
Call in, man. We want to hear how it went, all right?
Ask a fan.
Thanks, man.
Fan, a Syracuse
all right, let's
fan.
Go to Drew in Cal Boston. Fan. Drew, quickly, buddy, what you got?
Hey guys, love the show. Love the show. New time. I need to listen late sometimes, but I'm glad the West Coast gets to enjoy the dose of Crin Company every day.
Yeah, brother.
In particular, I love the hype speeches. But I notice this week we had a little bit of a curse of the hype speech.
Not for Tennessee.
Man, I ain't no damn curse over here. I brought Arkansas to two overtimes against Oklahoma State.
We did take dogs.
I'm the only reason. Playing single-handedly. It had nothing to do with them.
Your hype speech was fulfilled with Tennessee. Thank you, Blaine.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Blaine. Since I'm working during the hours, I missed them all, but all I got was a curse. So I was wondering. I'm a big Ole Miss fan. I wonder if I want a hype speech for them or Wake Forest.
Who y'all playing this week? Wake Forest?
I'm 0-2, so I need to pick Ole Miss. I need to just pick a surefire winner.
Hey, do we like the over in that game? Do we like the over in that game?
I don't know. Wake's
for like 400 last game against Virginia.
At Wake Forest?
Yeah.
Ole Miss pretty good on defense.
Isn't it the Bachenmeier? Wake Forest?
I believe it is. Can we need to talk about Peyton Thorne for a second, though?
I feel like we should have talked about him for the entire show, but that's just me.
Like, I don't know. I feel like we're missing out. But no, man, Ole Miss, dude. The Sunday recap. Did you watch the Sunday recap where the Ole Miss fans were like, why aren't y'all talking about Furman more? I'm like, God, guys.
Look,
like, you're not bad anymore. Like, I'm telling you.
Ole Miss minus 36.5 against Middle Tennessee State was the easiest bet I've ever seen.
It really was, dude.
I'm with you.
They don't have a killer schedule.
I also like the Masters of Mid Boston College Eagles up here playing Missouri. So I need help with the signs. Do they get the hype speech or do you give Missouri one
I'm not going to give a Missouri a high seed for a team they're 17 points favorite against.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's fair.
Wait, Missouri's a 17
point
favorite?
Yeah, I like Boston.
It's getting bought down hard.
Is it? It's at Boston
last
College,
Last time
right?
I saw it, was
it's
at
hype Missouri. Speech.
It's at Missouri.
It's at Missouri. I believe it's down to 15.5.
Yeah. It'd be better than Bill O'Brien's. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
The B.O.B.'s up there just dialing it up.
Appreciate it, Drew.
All right, Drew. Thank you, buddy.
What's on your mind about Peyton Thorne?
I've gotten asked so much about it. Do I open the show with it tomorrow though? Do I save it since we got 6:30 here? What do you think?
What's in your heart? How do you feel?
I think you should tell your truth.
You want to hear my truth?
Tell your truth, son.
Well, it's going to take too long.
Maybe
it's going to take too long.
Save it.
Tell your truth. No, I'm going to save it for tomorrow.
I'll tell my truth.
I'm going to open the show with it tomorrow, and then I want you to let's wait. We have so much powder that has got to be conserved for this week. Let's get to bets and we're going to get to donuts. How about
that? All right.
Get on calls. Thanks, everybody that called in.
Thanks. Y'all call in tomorrow, please.
Yeah. All right. Jets, Niners. No, we haven't talked about it a lot, but we're going to talk about it now. I like the over tonight, boys. 41.5.
Bought it down
a little bit. All right. We're going alternate at minus 135. I think, you know, both these defenses are really talented, but both these offenses are really talented, especially if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy after the first three plays. Then I love this bet. Christian McCaffrey, 2+ touchdowns at plus 300. They're going to score two. I know the Jets defense is good. If anybody's going to score a couple touchdowns in this game, it's C-Mac. I know that's the best part about having all the weapons the Niners have. It's really hard to narrow it down to one or two people. So that's what I'm riding with tonight, guys.
I like it. You know what? I'm playing against Christian McCaffrey in fantasy this week, and the good thing is I'm up by so much he could score two, and I still win.
And
you could still win.
Win-win.
I'm going to ride with you on that over this year, but I'm going to take it at 43. I got it at 43 minus 115. Maybe this is the year for the Jets that they thought last year would be. Maybe we play more than three plays if we're Aaron Rodgers. You know? So I'm going to go ahead and take the Jets plus 4.5 minus 115. Maybe I'm bet buds with both of you in some way, I think.
Yeah, on the over?
Right? You might be, Dave, yeah.
Because you got the over, right?
The over.
And you got the Jets?
Plus 4.5. Let me see it. Go ahead and bring my bets up there. 5-1 yesterday.
Yeah, nice day for the kid.
God, Matthew Stafford just seems to lose by 4.5. I'm rolling with David. The Jets plus 4.5 minus 115. And give
here
me
he goes.
Debo!
Okay.
Debo Mansingle, first touchdown score going off a plus 850. He's going to get a jet sweep for the touchdown.
I love it. Let's go to Ace. What does he got?
Ace money.
Brandon Ayuk. Hey, we don't got any controversy no more. Just put the ball in that rectangle with the cool, pretty pictures in it. That's at plus 190 anytime touchdown. And then 49ers minus 2.5. I like that number. And minus 162.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all watched the Lions game last night. Right?
What?
Yes.
Do you think it's fair have the end zone exact color of your jersey?
It doesn't matter because by the time you're in that, it does. It, like if
That happened in the end zone? I don't think Stafford saw that. There's like
it was one of his worst picks.
It was like ghillie suit camouflage.
Well, that's good. It's one thing like the. It's almost like a batter's eye. Like if it's something that like is on the back wall.
Yeah, is that what you're saying? Are you talking about back wall? Or are you talking about the field?
I'm talking about the
field. How does that come into play though?
Because it'd be the back wall. Eyes work.
Well, it's the field and the back wall. But you blend. I mean, you just sometimes.
Well, that'd be like if that's the case, then yeah. But if I'm the home team, I'm gonna do that every time. It's just like the batter's eye can't be white in Major League Baseball because you can't see the ball because that's the way your eyes work. You know, this way. If it's just in the end zone, it doesn't matter. The only way that would hurt you, and we used to do this play, is when you lay down a guy in the end zone. On kickoff return, take one off the front line, lay him down, have two returners back there, then return it to the field, wait till everybody's over there, then have him pop up, throw the reverse.
What about now with the new dynamic kickoff? Imagine changing the kickoff and then calling it dynamic.
Yeah.
But it was four players.
You should just call it die, because that's what kickoff's going to do in the next couple years.
All right, let's get into donations. If you donated today, thank you so much. We're going to start it off with Christopher Ard. What's up, man? He says, $5 donation. You may be correct on Oklahoma. They look awful. I'm starting to wonder if BV is the guy.
Just won 10 games last year. Easy. Easy. I tried to tell you, mixing a new offensive line with a new quarterback is really, really tough. I don't know. Ask Michigan, right, who prides themselves on that. It's going to take time when this happens. So, again, Oklahoma, you know, you are 2-0. It was ugly. It was really, really ugly against a bad Houston team, but again, you know, it kind of is what it is.
$5 donation from S. Mills. Am I the only one who doesn't like the new kickoff formation in the pros?
No, I don't think anybody likes it.
Go to Jacinto with the $2 donation. Mentor made the Chargers D look good. My guy is legit.
Yeah, so is the head coach.
$20 donation from Ethan Andrew. Couldn't call in today, but go Big Red.
Yes.
First time since 2019 with 200-plus passing yards. And season opener W, first time since 2021 scoring 40-plus points. First time since 2018 with 500-plus yards last week. Riola plus Rule are for real.
It's like Nebraska fans. It's like the first time you make out with a girl and then you hang out with your buddies the next time. Like, you're like, bro, can you believe what me and Sally Mae did under the bleachers?
Sally Mae?
Sally Mae.
Sally Mae. Oh,
Sally Mae. Yeah, it's definitely Nebraska.
$20.
Yeah, go ahead.
$20 donation from Lando. Appreciate it, man. Do you think it's time for Marcus Freeman to go at Notre Dame? 3 years, three different offensive coordinators, same pathetic offense. He's a coordinator. He takes no responsibility. Check out his pregame interview with Leonard.
Well, Notre Dame got outmatured by Northern Illinois, if you want to know the truth. They just got outmatured by him. We talked about that a bunch in our Sunday recap. I just wonder, like, what are you writing down in your notebook? After that field goal was blocked.
I was wondering the same thing.
Like, maybe it was something.
You got 30 seconds to go.
It's probably a four-letter word, I would think.
Or 10.
It was probably something, I don't know, like this. He's like, oh, no.
Probably. I saw it. Yeah.
You saw it?
I saw it, yeah.
Maybe we should put it in the end zone.
All right, let's go to $2 donation from Michael D. He says, how about them hurrying Hoosiers?
Yeah, they beat Western Illinois to death. Cignetti has got, like, that confidence. But it's not like over the top like we're seeing at Colorado. I said when this man got the job from James Madison, like this dude is like that one dad at the high school who everybody thinks is nerdy, but then like during a school function, he comes out and then he starts like dancing. He can like break dance, not like what we saw in the Olympics, but he's like that guy.
And then the guy who replaced him at James Madison, he's from Holy Cross, right?
Yeah.
Cignetti.
Yeah.
Vomiting on his sweater already.
It's mom spaghetti.
$5 donation from Giant Raid in Night. So the best college football show in the land. Keep it killing it, fellas. Thoughts on UNLV, ?
Dude, it's dangerous.
Good.
And
they're good. Kansas. What if they're the group of five
dude,
team?
That go-go offense?
What if they're the group of five team?
They could be. You look at that schedule,
Wait, do they
man.
Play Boise next week?
Dude, do they play Notre Dame? Does UNLV play Notre Dame?
I don't think so. I'm pulling it up right now.
Why do I think they do? Why did I think they did?
$10 donation from Cuse. In case you think both the Giants and Panthers are bad now, wait until they play each other in Germany come November. America's final punishment for World War II. Yeah. Final score prediction, Giants 4, Panthers 2.
All right, that's the funniest thing I've heard all
day. The treaty of Daniel Jones.
All right, UNLV quickly. They've already beaten Houston. They've already beaten Utah Tech. Now they got at Kansas.
Woo!
Fresno State, Syracuse, at Utah State, at Oregon State. Then they get Boise at home, dude, at Hawaii, San Diego State, San Jose State, and Nevada.
Could Kansas lose two in a row after losing to Illinois?
Yeah.
By the way, nobody's talking about that. Like, Illinois, like, give me some Luke Altmyer, man.
$5 donation from a humping badger. Question for Davis Longhorns. Will you be rooting for Wisconsin and attempt to get at least some rhythm to jump around this Saturday when we beat Bama?
No, I will not be pulling for the humping badgers.
Y'all ain't beating Bama, bro. Like, I hate to break it to you. My mom's from Kenosha, but, like, my dad played for the Packers. Y'all ain't beating Bama.
Let's go to a $2 donation from GC. Says, what does South Carolina need to do to beat LSU?
We're going to break that game down tomorrow. Do not miss it.
$5 donation from Son of Man. Said, did Daniel Jones play like Peyton Thorne, or did Peyton Thorne play like Daniel Jones? Sit them both.
Daniel Jones is pretty good at Duke. Peyton Thorne's pretty bad at Auburn.
$2 donation from Brian Shaginda. Appreciate it, Brian. I don't see a comment under that. $5 donation from Mal Page. Are the Saints better than we thought, or the Panthers even worse than last year?
Don't know yet. We need more sample size when it goes that way. Typically, teams don't get beat like that in the NFL, even when it's a blowout.
$5 donation from the Hog Man. Blaine, don't worry. It wasn't your fault. Thank you.
They should have played your stuff in the motivational video.
Yeah, that's like, why y'all didn't win. That's on Sam.
Y'all don't drop that punt if that old boy listens to Blaine's motivational speech.
If you donated, guys, thank you so much. Let's get to this poll. Who is the best team in the country? Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, or other?
Mm. Who do I think? I think y'all put Texas 45%.
I'll say Georgia 50%.
I think it's Georgia, though.
Ohio State 5%, other 14%, Texas 26%, Georgia 56%.
Smart. 56. We got smart fans. Water. We really, really do. Hey, we appreciate you guys. Please keep filling up the chat. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Shout out to our sponsors, Bet Online, Responsible Man, Shopify. Check them all out. Helps us, helps you, helps America. Got a great guest tomorrow as well. Make sure you're locked in. Until then, like the chances of the Panthers being any good at football, we're going. And I'm not talking about Pitt. They actually look pretty decent. And got a big win. Go on.
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. It never really seemed to matter that much, at least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
I'm going to sort this out. I need to go deeper undercover.
They don't say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certifications.
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. This is more for you and less for you.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I'm going to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yeah, this country is a piece of...
White
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman,
white boy.
Is there a black person around?
There's a black person right here. Does he not exist?
They don't say I'm racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They gonna say you racist.
Buy your tickets now in theaters September 13th. Rated PG-13.